my name is Luke Rosenberger, and I'm so glad you are here worshiping with us today. There is sometimes that you have something that's kind of personal that you want to share with someone, or you have maybe a secret and you want to share that secret. And what you do when that happens, you kind of open yourself up to some vulnerability. You open yourself up to the chance that you could be getting hurt by sharing something that's close to you on your heart. You know, a lot of times people don't want to reveal the name of a child before they're born. Like our daughter Elizabeth, who's also having a birthday today, and happy birthday, Dean. When we were pregnant with Elizabeth, and we came up with the name Elizabeth, we were like, you know what? Elizabeth Rosenberger is kind of a long name. Actually, it's a super long name. And, you know, what if, you know, if we tell people her name ahead of time, you know, people might be like, hey, don't you think you would just be nicer to a kindergartner by not having to spell out that many letters? You know, things like that. We don't want to hear those kind of comments because, like, we're like, hey, we're deciding on this name, right? And so you can still save those. People can still maybe say those comments afterwards, right? But when you're in the middle of deciding, when you've had something that's close to you, you don't always share those things. Because what happens is, a lot of times, or sometimes, you can get hurt. And we're going to see this today was a very exciting thing that Jesus wanted to tell his closest followers, his closest friends, the ones that had spent a lot of time with him. And he had this news that he wanted to share with them. And so he tested them to see if they were ready. He tested them asking, essentially, who am I? And Peter declared that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had the right answer. Peter declared who Jesus was. It was the first time that the disciples really realized this is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. And interestingly enough, Jesus told the disciples not to tell. Now, he did affirm Peter in this. He affirmed him because he said, you know, this was revealed to you not by yourself, but by the Father. And so he affirmed him that God the Father is speaking through you. He's affirming that to him. But then what happens next? And so we get to our passage here. But right before that, he tells the disciples, don't share this yet, right? He says, hey, this is essentially saying, this is not the time for everyone to know that I'm the Messiah. That will come. And so he wants to let he wants his disciples to understand what the mission of the Messiah is. Because the mission of the Messiah to the disciples, they had a very different expectation of what this Savior would save people from. And their expectation was not the expectation that Jesus had in his mission. And so we see this thank you, Greg, for reading, but in Matthew 16, verse 21, it says, from that time on, and even just those few words right there, from that time on, it kind of signifies now Jesus is pointing, his ministry is all pointing towards the cross. He's going towards Jerusalem. He's going towards this road to the crucifixion. And so from that time on, it says Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. And they're like, okay, yeah, you're going to Jerusalem. Okay, that's good. We're going to Jerusalem. And suffer many things. Now, I'm sure that was a shock to them that when Jesus said, we're going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to suffer. And Mark and Luke both add here, suffer many things and be rejected at the hands of the elders. Jesus isn't just going to be suffering. He's also going to be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. The most important people in their religion were these people in Jerusalem, the leaders. They were going to reject Jesus. And Jesus goes on and says, and that he, talking about himself, must be killed. And on the third day be raised to life. Now, can you imagine if one of your closest friends tells you some kind of bombshell like this, some kind of like, you know, news that you just are completely shocked to hear. Now, I think we don't get that way when we read this text because we know, yes, Jesus, he was going to die. But the disciples then, they didn't know that Jesus was going to die. They had no idea that the Messiah was going to die. And so this is crazy talk. Why would Jesus be saying that? Stop, Jesus, stop saying the crazy things. And we see that that's what is about to happen, that someone says that. But so that Jesus is going to be rejected, the Messiah can't be rejected. That Jesus is going to be killed. Okay, so is Jesus really the Messiah if he's going to be killed? And I wonder if they even weren't even listening by the time he said, and Jesus said he was going to be raised on the third day, right? This Messiah is supposed to reign. This Messiah is supposed to rule. This Messiah is supposed to give victory. But Jesus wants you and I to know that he does have victory. He does reign. He does have all authority. And he calls us to believe that he is the true Son of God, the Savior. So a true disciple of Jesus believes, first of all, that Jesus is their Savior. And these rulers of the Jews, they did not believe that Jesus was a Savior. They did not believe that Jesus was from God. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And so they would, Jesus was saying in the future, not so much in the future, but in the future, Jesus was predicting, letting his disciples know that these guys were going to reject me. And not just reject me, they were going to kill me. And I think this is very kind of Jesus to tell his disciples this. You know, when this happens, as bad and terrible as it is, at least if they could look back and remember, you know what? He did say this. He did say that he was going to die. And he also said, what else? That he was going to be raised back to life on the third day. So a true disciple of Jesus believes that Jesus is their Savior, believes that Jesus didn't just suffer, and he wasn't just rejected at the hands of the elders and chief priests and rulers, but he also died for our sins, and he is the Savior of the world. He's not just the Messiah that the Romans, or that would drive out the Romans like the Jewish people of that time thought. He's not just the Messiah that would just come and be having an earthly kingdom, an earthly reign. Jesus is our King. And he's our King not just right now, he's our King forever. So Jesus' kingdom is a very different kingdom, and we're going to continue to see that. Now maybe you think that's crazy. Maybe you think that, how could that be? How in the world could Jesus willingly die if he was the true King? How would someone be that, crazy. How would someone really think that they're going to save people by dying? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father apart from me. And so Jesus, by saying that, he said, I'm the only way to the Father. I'm the only way to eternal life. I'm the only way to salvation. And so a true disciple of Jesus believes that Jesus is the only way. He's the only hope that we have. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that you believe that's all our hope. So my question to you is, do you truly believe that? Do you truly believe that Jesus is our only hope? That Jesus is our Savior? That apart from Jesus, we can do nothing? Apart from Jesus, we have no chance at eternity. In fact, apart from Jesus, we are destined for eternal damnation. And we have no hope outside of Jesus because of the sin in our life. And thankfully, Jesus, he paid that price. He paid the price of dying on the cross and gives us that chance to accept him as our personal Savior, the Savior that would save each person from their sin if they ask Jesus. And of course, he says yes. Jesus wants us to believe all the way in him, fully in him. But sometimes it doesn't really change how we live. Just because we believe something, it doesn't always mean we live it. Sometimes it doesn't change how we respond to disappointment, to differences of expectations, to a difficult circumstance. There's times in our life that we might believe something, but we're not living it because of the circumstances, because of our expectation, because of there's disappointment. Think about these disciples. They were hearing for the first time that Jesus was going to die, their expectation was the Messiah would reign. The Messiah would rule. And this was disappointment. This was frustration. This was all kinds of things. So let's see in the next verse here how these disciples respond to Jesus' news of his upcoming rejection, death, and resurrection. So it says in verse 22 and 23 of Matthew 16, Peter, who had just, by the way, Jesus had just a few verses before this declared that Peter was the rock, right? Peter was the one that he's going to build the foundation of the church. He's going to be the leader of the church. So Peter, as the leader, took Jesus aside, and it says he began to rebuke him. And Peter said, "Never, Lord!" Exclamation point. "This shall never happen to you." Can you imagine, first of all, can you imagine telling your Lord, your Messiah, the one that's your Savior, your leader, can you imagine saying, "Never"? Jesus says something and you say, "Never!" It's not a trick. Jesus was telling them something that was going to happen. And Peter says, "Never." I think it's ironic here. These two words can't go together. Never and Lord. If Jesus is your Lord, then you don't say never. Do you ever say never to a boss? Never. If you do, you might not work there very much longer, right? You would, if someone's in charge of you, if someone is your leader, you don't say never. Unless it's some kind of question that is supposed to say, you're supposed to say never. But he says, to further point, he says, "This shall never happen to you." Not just that it's probably not going to happen, not just that I hope it doesn't happen, or "Are you sure you're speaking clearly, Lord? Are you sure this is the plan?" No, he's saying this will never happen. Jesus, stop saying ridiculous things. That's not what the Messiah is supposed to do, so don't say that again. Can you imagine? Do we do that? Do we say that to Jesus? We probably don't use those words, "Never, Lord." But I can imagine sometimes we've said things like this to Jesus. "Hey, this is..." Jesus calls you to something and you say, "No, not there, I can't do that." We were watching a video in the Gather 25 content a few weeks ago. In fact, if you haven't watched Gather 25, check it out. Live.gather25.com. It's the whole world was... all the Christians around the world, every country, were sharing, worshiping Jesus together at the same time. It was really cool. But there was one part that there's these Chinese Christians that, or sorry, there were Japanese Christians living in China, and they said, you know, the Lord was calling them to go to Japan to teach people about Him, to be missionaries to Japan. And they said, no, not Japan. Anywhere else, Lord. But he kept saying, "Japan. Go to Japan." And often we do this. We're like, "Hey, not there. Lord, are you sure about this? Lord, you know, I know what Japan's like. Or I know what this situation's like." And I think the Lord's like, "Who are you talking to here? Because I know the plans." And not in a... not in a rude way, but Jesus just keeps, in this example of Japan, he keeps saying, "Hey, you need to go to Japan." And finally, this missionary couple, they obey. And it was really cool just to see the fruit of what was happening, where people were coming to Jesus. And through this ministry, where they didn't even want to go to Japan, that many people were coming to know Jesus and being saved because of an obedient person. Even though they had said no, Peter here said no. He said never. So Jesus' response to Peter is, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, that's in no way a compliment. If someone ever says something to you referring to Satan, that's not a compliment. Jesus clearly here was not calling, he was not saying that Peter was possessed. He was not saying that he was Satan himself. Really, what he's trying to say here, he says it in verse 23. He says, "You are a stumbling block to me." He says, "You don't have the mind of, in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Jesus was letting Peter know, "Hey, what you're concerned about right now is human concerns. You don't understand, my mission is to save people from their sin. You don't have the concerns of God, you have the concerns of people. And so if you have the concerns of people, if you're worried more about what the world thinks and what people think, or then you are also in line with what Satan wants you to think and do and say. And so that's a really scary thing. Peter was being used essentially by Satan. And that's not what any disciple should be doing, right? But Peter was the leader of the disciples. Peter was the one that was, he spoke his mind all the time. He had just said, Jesus, you're the Messiah. And now Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, to Peter. We need to remember here that we need to be in, or we have the opportunity to be in with Jesus. We surrender ourselves to Jesus. We read his word. We seek after him. We open the Bible and we learn about him. But when we have the mind of ourself, if our focus is on ourself or on our world, not in the loving eyes of Jesus, then it's going to be selfish. It's going to be self-pleasing. It's not going to be what Jesus wants. And Jesus, what Jesus wants, he wants to seek and save the lost. He wants people to know him. He wants to save people from their sins. And so if our focus is on ourselves and how we look and how what's happening with us and not about Jesus and not about his mission, then it is going to be what Satan wants. So a true disciple of Jesus lives with Jesus as their Lord. If they say, Jesus, you're my Lord, you believe that Jesus is the Savior, we also then believe that he's our Lord, and we say yes to him. Not never. We say yes. We say yes, sir. We say, your will be done. Jesus modeled this when he was about to die on the cross, and he was praying, and he said to the Father, not my will, but yours be done. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, not my will. So a true disciple of Jesus lives with Jesus as Lord. They are Lord, not just a guy that knows some things, but as the true Son of God, the true Lord, the true Savior, the one that we say yes to. You know, sometimes I think we think, oh, we know better. We don't really need a Lord. We don't really need guidance. I was on a run this week, and I turned down a sidewalk I hadn't gone to in a while, or ever, maybe. And I had no idea that the end of the sidewalk, at the end of the block, it was completely covered with mud. Like, probably like 2 or 3 inches of mud. Now, if I would have known that, I would have not gone that way. But I didn't know that, and I went that way. And I had a few inches of mud all like stuck to my shoes, and I almost like wiped out really bad. I should have just like saw the mud and be like, oh, I need to turn around and go back. I am on a run. I should actually just run a little longer and not have to go through the mud. But I thought, hey, I know what's best. I know what I can do. I can do this. And I think sometimes that's how we act. We act like, oh, I can do this. I'm fine. I don't need direction, literally. I don't need guidance, but a true disciple of Jesus depends on Jesus, lives with Jesus, and knowing that Jesus isn't just some Lord, but he's all that we need. And we need him not just like sometimes. We don't just need him on Sundays. We don't just need him like once or twice during the week. We need him throughout each day. And that's what a true disciple of Jesus does, lives with Jesus, believes that Jesus is a Savior. Then Jesus tells his disciples this in Matthew 16, 24. He goes on from telling Peter, get behind me, Satan, and he says, you're not concerned about my mission, you're concerned about the world and what you think. And he says this, and then he looks at all his disciples and he says, whoever wants to be my disciple, first of all, these are the disciples he's already called. But he's saying, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now, I want to pause here because this verse is really important. You know, at the time when, you know, the Jewish people knew way too well what a crucifixion was. I think if any of us saw a real-life crucifixion, not just like a portrayed on a TV or movie or something, if we saw a true-life crucifixion, I think we'd all be scarred for life. By seeing someone go through that much torture, through that much pain, through that much suffering. And these followers of Jesus, they had seen time and time again people march through the city carrying their cross. And carrying their cross to the place where they would be crucified. And Jesus says to these people, he says to these followers, that if you want to be my disciple, you must, not it's a good idea. He says you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. You must say no to yourself, to your desires, to what you want to do if it doesn't align up with what Jesus wants. We always ask Jesus, what do you want? And if there's things on our hearts, that's fine, but we don't force them. We have open hands and say, Jesus, if this is what you want, I'll do it. So we look to Jesus as our Lord. We deny ourselves. How do we deny ourselves? That means that's not very easy to do, by the way, because we have a lot of thoughts, we have a lot of desires, we have a lot of opinions, we have a lot of things that we want for ourselves or maybe for our families, but we are to deny those things. We are to deny all those things because what Jesus wants us to do is to take up our cross. He wants us to die to ourselves. He says, pick up your cross and follow me. And he had just told the disciples that he was going to suffer and die. He says, if you want to follow me, then follow me to death. That's not a halftime speech. That's not what anyone wants to hear. You guys, we're all in this together. We're all going to go out and die. No, that's not what anyone wants to hear. Jesus tells people you have to take up your cross. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to follow after Jesus, he says, you have to die to yourself. What you want and what Jesus want, they conflict. And if you want what you want and what Jesus wants, it just doesn't work. You have to say no to yourself. And that's way easier said than done. But part of what you can do to say no to yourself is by picking a time each day, opening God's Word, spending time reading God's Word, spending time praying God's Word, spending time asking Him that His will be done, and not my will, but yours be done. Jesus continues after he says this shocking statement about denying yourself and taking up your cross and following me. He says in verse 25, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. That seems very backwards from the world. Whoever wants to save their life, doesn't everybody want to save their life? Well, not the way of Jesus. If you want to save your life, if you're going to try to do your own thing, you're going to lose it. You're not going to have eternity with Jesus. He says, but whoever loses their life for me, whoever lays down their life, whoever takes up their cross and follows after me, you're going to find eternal life, everlasting life. You're going to be with me forever. And he says in verse 26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory and with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. If you try to gain the world, if you try to have success, if you try to do all the things apart from Jesus, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose you're not going to find eternal life in Jesus. You're going to forfeit your soul, your eternal life. You're not going to have it. The only way through Jesus is, the only way to life is with Jesus. And Jesus says, if you try to do that, if you try to do all the things on your own, even if they're in the name of Jesus, even if they're good things, if they're apart from me, you're not going to have life. eternal life. You're not going to have everlasting life. You can't exchange success for eternity unless the success is in Jesus. Not for Jesus, but in Jesus. Because the success is by laying down your life, by taking up your cross, and by following after Jesus. And I just want to note one thing really quick. Sometimes I hear people say, oh, this is my cross to bear. Oh, this problem I have, this person I have to deal with, this situation, man, that is my cross to bear, and it's hard. By the way, that's not a cross to bear. What Jesus said a cross to bear is dying to yourself, denying yourself and taking up your cross. It's not suffering for something else. Your cross to bear is dying to self. Dying to self so that we can live with Jesus. Letting Him fill us. Letting Him fill us with life and love. Letting His will be done in our life, not our own will. And then it says in the last part here, it says that Jesus, He says He's going to come back. Now, maybe the disciples are like, what are you talking about? You haven't left yet. But He said, come back, I'm going to come back in the Father's glory and with the angels. And each person is going to be rewarded according to what they've done. Wait a minute, are you saying that what we do determines where we are? Well, kind of. Because what we do is what we believe in Jesus. What we do is we live with Jesus. And also what we do is we give everything to Jesus. Because a true disciple of Jesus gives their everything to Jesus. He's not asking for most of your life. He's asking for it all. A true disciple of Jesus gives everything to Jesus. I surrender all. It's a complete, it's all in or all out. It's not most of the way or some of the way. You give your all. And when you give your all, then Jesus says that later, when He comes back, He's going to be judging the living and the dead. And how does He judge the living and the dead? It's based on, do I know you? Do you have a personal relationship with me? Or have you accepted me as your Lord and Savior? Are you with me? Or are you just saying things about me? In Matthew, later, it says, Jesus said, or in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that at the end of it, in Matthew 7, there's going to be people that say, Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. We did this, all these really good things. But Jesus says, sorry, at the end, I didn't know you. Get away from me. Jesus only, when He's judging the living and the dead, it's only based on, have you accepted Jesus' free gift of salvation? Are you living in Him? Are you trusting Him with your life? Are you in with Jesus? Not just for Jesus, but with Jesus. And so a true disciple gives their everything. A true disciple doesn't just say, I'll give you most of my life. I'll give you most of my thoughts. I'll give you most of my desire. A true disciple says, I'm all in, Jesus. Do whatever you want. Whatever your will is, help me to have that will also. Help me to trust you. And I know that sounds crazy, but Jesus wants your 100%. He wants your all. So is that something that you've done? Have you given your all to Jesus? And sometimes what I realize is, I thought I gave my all, but then He shows me more things that I haven't surrendered to Him, more things that I still am wanting to control in my life. And Jesus says, give those to me. And so you can either reject your will, or you can reject Jesus as Lord. There's no in between. You either reject your will, what you want, all the things that you're trying to do. You reject that. You lay it down. You deny yourself. Or you reject Jesus. Jesus the Messiah, the rejected Messiah. He was rejected by, he would be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the leaders of, of the religion that said they follow the true God. He was going to be rejected by them and suffer and die. He also then was rejected by his number one disciple, Peter. But then he tells all the disciples, hey, don't reject me. If you want to be halfway in, you're rejecting me. You have to be all the way in. And it's the same thing for us too. If you believed with Jesus as Savior and you live for Jesus as your Lord, then you also give your everything. You must give your everything to Jesus. And by doing that, you don't reject Jesus. But anything short, you do reject Jesus as Lord. Jesus wants your everything. He doesn't want your 95%. He wants your 100%. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to seek and save the religious. You know, there were some Pharisees that turned to Jesus later, but most of them didn't. He came to seek and save anyone that was in need of a Savior, which, by the way, we all need a Savior. And He loves you so much that He died for you. He loves you so much that He said, I'll take on your sin. I'll pay that price for you. And Jesus loves you so much that He doesn't want you to stay in your sin. He doesn't want you to have eternal damnation. He wants you with Him. He wants you to be in relationship with you now and forever. That when you come to the end of your life or when Jesus returns, whichever is close or whichever is first, you're with Jesus. Your excitement is Jesus. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that in your life. Are you holding on to things? Are you trying to control your circumstances? Are you trying to control what's happening in your life? Or are you trying to give, are you giving the control to Jesus? If Jesus is your Lord, if Jesus is your Savior, then we give our control, we give our everything to Jesus, not just on Sundays, not just sometimes, but always. Maybe there's some shows that you're watching, movies, books. Maybe there's things that you shouldn't be watching because those aren't helping you. They're not good for you. Stop watching those things. Stop taking those things in. Maybe your finances haven't been given over to Jesus. He wants your all. He doesn't need your money, but He wants your all because it's about our hearts. Maybe your relationships. Maybe you're like, I just have to have this relationship. I just have to have this person to be my friend or to get married to or whatever it is. I just have to have that. No, we have to have Jesus. Maybe it's your career. Well, God, you've given me these abilities, so can I use them for you? Well, maybe, but let's talk about it. Maybe it's your time. Well, I just don't have time to read my Bible. I just don't have time to go to church every Sunday. I just don't have time to talk to people about Jesus. I don't have time because I'm busy doing other things. Well, guess what? We all have the same amount of time until we don't. So let's use our time. Let's give Jesus control of our time. Let's show Jesus that we want in, that we care about Him and that we grow in Him. And the more that you grow in Jesus, the more that time will just be like, that time just gets away because you're with Jesus so much and you want to be with Jesus. And so the more that you give to Jesus, the more you're going to really benefit and enjoy that relationship with Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you today to think through your life. What are those areas that you're not giving control? What are those ways that you're holding on to that you've said, you know, Jesus, you can have my 90%. Or Jesus, you can have this much of me, but this part over here is mine. Jesus doesn't want you to have, there's a part over here that's mine. He wants you to be all in. So give those to Him. Let Him have control. You can either reject your will, or you can reject Jesus as Lord. My plea is don't reject Jesus as Lord. You will not regret it. We're going to close here in a minute with a song, a response song that's called Monday Morning Faith. And it's this song that we learned at Regen a couple years ago. And this song is a song that it helps us think about, it's not, our faith isn't just about Sundays. Our faith is all throughout the week. And yes, we can come to church and we can be worshiping Jesus and we can be excited about being in relationship with others, but it's throughout the week and throughout each day where it really shows, do I have a faith in Jesus? Am I trusting Jesus? Am I looking to Jesus? Do I care about Jesus? Or am I rejecting Jesus? Because a true disciple is going to give their everything. Not just their belief, not just how they live, but give everything to Jesus. So I hope and pray that you give your everything to Jesus. And if you've never done that, today is not too late. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the God that came to save us. We thank you that you're the God that went to the cross. That you're the God that loves us so much that you would do anything, including die, so that we can have life. Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Maybe those that haven't gone all in with you, Jesus. I pray that you would show them today, show me what I'm not surrendering to you. Show us where we are still seeking control, where we're not giving you control, Lord. And we just pray that we would give you that control, that we would let you be 100% in charge, that your will be done in our hearts, just like it is in heaven. God, your will be done. What you want to happen is what we want to happen. So make that the cry of our hearts, that whatever you want is what we want. So thank you, Jesus, for the life that you give. Thank you, Jesus, for the salvation you offer. And I pray for those that have not accepted your salvation. Jesus, pray, we ask that you would draw people to yourself, whether that's people in this room or watching or listening, or other, our friends or neighbors, whoever it is, Lord, we pray that you would be drawing more and more people to you, and to know you, and that you know that you are the only way to life and life abundant. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing, and we ask that we would trust you with our whole lives and live for you. And whatever you want, what we would do, and we would find our joy and happiness in you. We pray that this church would be a place where people would see how wonderful you are, Jesus. See people that love you so much that we just can't stop talking about you, that we just can't get enough of you. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would grow us in our faith. You would grow us in our desire also to trust you more and to know you more. And then through that, God, that you would show us people around us that need you. Help us to be bold in our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.